Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a mom, writer, singer, songwriter, artist, teacher, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super delighted to have my husband, Dudley Denader, back as my guest today. During the show, you'll hear about our journey as parents, some great ideas on parenting from Dr. Wayne Dyer, and looking back on what we found most helpful during the journey. Welcome, Dudley.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, gosh. What a journey, huh?
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. I mean, where do we even start? But I think that one of the things that was most helpful to us is what we learned from our moms, your mom and my mom, and also from our dads, what they did that we maybe didn't like, you know. So I think that's one of the areas where we could start talking about it is to talk about a little bit about what we learned from them and then talk a little bit about what we learned from Wayne Dyer and from our own experience, okay? Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds good.
Okay, so my mom, I'll start with my mom. My mom was, as you know, and Xander knows, she was really an amazing mom. She wanted to be a mom more than anything. That was the thing that she wanted to do more than anything in the whole world, and she loved kids, and she was positive. She was happy and positive and kind, loving, creative, and she was always encouraging us to do things. And one of the things she did, though, that I learned later is not as good, though, is that she was always encouraging us. So because of that, at a certain point when we get older, we didn't realize, well, could we or could we not do it? Or, you know, because she always would say we could. And as you know, I used to be so incredibly afraid of making mistakes that I wasn't willing to try things. So that's one of the things I think that has helped me a lot during this journey is because of the fact that you have always been more willing to make mistakes and learn from those mistakes. And so that I think is a huge one right there. But what do you think about?
Well, you've encapsulated it really pretty well. I think that one of the things I would mention is the fact that you had mentioned making mistakes and so on to our son, Alex, when he was a young boy, and mentioned that it's not a problem, that it's just the way life is, that you go through life and you try different things, you stumble, you're going to stub your toe, you're going to fall down occasionally, but you learn from it, and that's just the process of being an adult in the human society. And the nice thing that he came up with was being able to figure out that you could make mistakes and still be okay. And I remember when we were on the chairlift and he looked down and we were all skiing and somebody had just taken a spill and he went down and he said, "Oh, look, Mommy, he's learning." I thought, yeah, he's got some snow in places that he probably doesn't but want to have snow. But, you know, he did learn, you know, something about that altercation with the snow and skis. And I just giggled at that point, and I thought, that's such a wonderful thing to have taught our son. And you really did that. I mean, you did it with spades, so it was well done.
Well, thank you. But I had to learn it myself first. And that's, I think, one of the areas where, well, back in 1985, I started listening to Nightingale Conant tapes and audio programs. They were on tapes at the time, cassette tapes, which, amazingly enough, still work. But anyway, my first audio programs I bought from Nightingale Conant were Earl Nightingale, Lead the Field, which Earl is awesome, and then Wayne Dyer. And I had bought one with him about how to be a no-limit person, And I really liked that. And then I think it was the following year he came out with one called What Do You Really Want for Your Children? And we didn't even have a child at the time. We knew we wanted to have one at some point, but we didn't have one. And I bought the program, and I remember that immediately I just loved Wayne Dyer's voice. He had this amazing voice and ability to tell funny stories that just brought me right into it. And so then I asked you to listen to the tapes with me, and it gave us a chance to talk about the things that we had experienced through our families while we were growing up, and also things that we wanted to have he was Alex when he was younger, just so the listeners aren't confused. He was Alex until he went to college, and then he became Xander. Each other, and for us to work on so that we could be good role models as parents. And
well, it was interesting to take a look at what Wayne was suggesting in his different parts of the series, and then to consider how we had been brought up, what our family like was like when we were young, and
mm-hmm.
you know, how we reacted, how our parents reacted, how we went through the process of life, and to see the contrast between the two. And a lot of things were very similar because we both came from loving families, but there were some things, like my father being from Europe, which made a big difference because he was very, very segmented. He was very, very down the road and very, in his own complete track. He did not look in different ways. And it was one of those things that you had to get used to as a child. And when I grew up, I realized, that was that inference from my dad. And it was an interesting thing to be able to realize and see from both sides. And I see the good in both sides, but at the same time, it was interesting to look at it. And then my dad raised me, obviously, I was his son, but I never saw my dad. He was so busy. He was the chief consulting engineer for the entire Ford Motor Company, and he worked on Saturdays. The only day he took off and he was worked late in the evenings most of the time was Sunday. And we would see each other on Sunday, but between us, that is me and my mom and the two girls, my sisters, there was quite a bit of activity going on. So I didn't get a lot of alone time with my dad. And one of the things I really wanted to change about my life, and I really wanted to be a father, was the fact that I wanted to spend as much time as I could with my son. And I did, and it was wonderful. And it paid off in spades, and I'm very happy about that. And a lot of the tenets that Wayne Dyer has talked about in this series, I employed as we went through the process. And it's great because you learn... I mean, I'm just looking at, some of these highlights from his series, and to have high self-esteem, to be risk-takers, to be stress-free, to have peaceful lives, to be self-disciplined, that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
To celebrate the present moments, to be able to, live your life one moment at a time and just totally sink into it and enjoy it. To live a life of wellness, that's also an incredible thing that came to me, and I realized that I had to exercise to
mm-hmm.
maintain wellness, and I have done that through my entire adult life. To be creative, which is huge for me, and to feel a sense of purpose. So each person on the planet, if they have any self-esteem, has to have a sense of purpose. And so these were wonderful things that he talked about, and we both employed in the process of raising our son and having a good time doing it, too.
Yeah, well, one of the things that you said earlier, I want to jump back to, too, about how you barely saw your dad, and he passed away really suddenly when you were 8 years old, so you didn't have him around after that.
And I was seven, actually.
Yeah,
I was
well,
almost
anyway.
Almost eight.
Okay. Almost eight. But the point I'm getting at here is that because of you not getting to spend time with him, that became a huge priority for you.
Yeah.
And yeah, and so we made sure that we had work that was flexible enough that we were able to do that. And by having our graphic design and photography business, we were able to take some time to go to his baseball games when he was growing up and be part of Cub Scouts and the other things that we were doing through the schools. And yeah, I think that spending time with them is just so huge. But
I think it's the most important thing. I honestly think that above everything else, everything that you can teach them is just spend time with them. Just go through life. Just experience life and explain and understand through their eyes and so on and discuss the whole process. I mean, it's just, it's wonderful. And it's from a perspective that is so totally unbiased. And so that is another thing. I think that's the greatest thing that children give adults as people have children. I think that's the biggest gift that the children give back, is that unbiased attitude as they're growing, when they're young. And if their parents can really pick up on that and figure that out and understand it and be part of it, I think that their lives will be enriched by it. And I think they've changed and they're all in a better place. I think it's just a better way of matriculating life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true. And, you know, the other thing, too, that I learned, though, while growing up is my dad was, as you know, was super strict. And yours was from Europe, so he was strict in his own ways. But my dad just, I'm the first of five kids for our listeners' sake, and he would always just say no. If I wanted to go stay over at a friend's house, no. If I wanted to go anywhere, no. Why? I'd ask him why, and he'd go, because I said so. And, you know, that just frustrated me. And it got to a point where I got really rebellious once I got in high school, not compared to what a lot of kids do. But on the other hand, I found it fun, I hate to admit this, but I found it fun to make him mad. And I think that,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that it actually is something that happens with a lot of families, is that if one or both of the parents are too strict, saying, okay, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, you have to do this now, you can't do this, and until you grow up and leave home. When you're under my roof, you don't do this or that. And the thing is that one of the things you and I've talked about a lot about what's worked with our marriage, which we've been married since 1982, so a while, and Xander was born in January of 1990, but one of the things that's really been helpful for all of us is to pick our battles. In other words, you know, not to be just saying no, 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 no all the time, or no, you did it wrong, or whatever, and to catch people doing things right, because that was one of the things when I was re-listening to Wayne Dyer's tapes, audio program, What Do You Really Want for Your Children, is that he was talking about, even for him, that praise encourages, and criticism makes him want to give up. And he was using some examples in the program of playing tennis and, you know, about his partner criticizing him and it making him feel like he didn't want to play and kind of almost making him angry. And then when he'd go, whoa, that was a really good backhand. You know, if you did this a little bit this way, it might work out even better. So a lot of it is kids, when they're really little, they're always going to be doing things. And I remember reading one place that said, give them choices. Okay, do you want to have Cheerios for breakfast or eggs for breakfast or something? So that they still are having choices, not just you dictating everything that they do. And that goes also into letting them do things with friends and other things that they want to do, interests that they have. Some parents, that gets into the creativity thing. Some parents think creativity is too frivolous and
yeah.
that it's a waste of time. And unfortunately, I think a lot of parents seem to think that way from what I've observed from...
Well, it's not an easy thing to make your life as a creative person. In other words, we're very fortunate that my business, our business, has really been as successful as it has for 43 years or 44 years. 44
going
years.
On 44, yeah.
No, it's 44 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, geez, I do what I want. I love it. I get paid well. I mean, what's wrong with this picture? There's got to be a problem somewhere. But it's the problem is that it's a very difficult thing to make happen. You have to have people that really want your services and on an ongoing basis. And that means you have to produce the best material out of all the people that they have options to hire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tall order. But I'm happy to say it's 44 years and still counting, loving what we do.
Well, and
but
part
it's
of,
not an easy thing to do, so I can agree with the parents that maybe want to squash the creativity a little bit.
But my point about creativity, and you're right, I mean, one of the reasons why we are still in business, why we are still having clients is because a long time ago we realized that you did really well at design, graphic design, but also with photography. And we changed the name of the business to Denator Design and Photography. And sometimes the graphic design makes us the most money. Sometimes the photography does. But it also keeps us from getting bored, you know, doing
yeah,
the same
no,
thing
true.
All the time as well. So those are true, I mean, as far as making money in a creative field. But what I'm talking about here is that, as Julia Cameron says in The Artist's Way, everyone is creative. Every person on this planet is creative. And there are a million ways to use your creativity and add joy to
yeah.
your life and other people's lives, even if it's not your job. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to be an artist or a painter or a photographer or a singer or songwriter or musician or whatever, or author. It means that you need to use your creativity in everything you do, you know, how you
yeah.
dress, how you design your house, how you talk, how everything can be creative, and it adds joy to life for you and for other people. So I think that's one of the ones that, to me, stood out really a lot is so many people are afraid to let their children be creative, and if they're afraid to, probably... then they've been told to be afraid to be creative, and they're not even realizing that they're creative. So,
well, it's an interesting thing, though, because Xander was born into our family, which is definitely a creative family. I mean, between art and music, both, we're having a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he has picked up and run with it in both categories. And now, I mean, look where he's come from all of this. But as he went through... high school, his interest, he was always a very, very good student, as you know, but I mean it for the benefit of our listeners, but oftentimes he would attempt to do or to elect to satisfy requirements for subjects that needed to have reports done through video.
Mm-hmm.
And this was through his high school, fortunately, this was one of the ways that you could actually satisfy requirements, and he adored doing that and would come up with the craziest stuff, and
it was so much
fun to watch him and his mind come up with all these just crazy things for the most part, because you know how kids are, they're off the cuff, they're just gone, and he was the epitome of that and did so much work, and then it followed through as he went into college. And he got involved and was fortunate enough to go to Chapman University, which has the Dodge Film School of Arts and
Film Dodge College of Film,
and Media
Arts, I think it's called.
There you go. But in any case, I mean, and then to get out and to have the ability to, well, not even get out, before he got out, to edit so many of the senior theses that people came to him. They realized that he had a gift. And so they would come and let him produce their movies for him, for them. And it just, it astounded me. He's always been this way, all the way through. And when he got out of, he took an extra special class when he was in the university and learned Avid front and back. And that was like, whew, big. And when he got out of school, he had been gone for 6 months when he first got his first job. And that was through a reality show, and many other reality shows followed that. But that was not the most important or the most creative time that he had. But now he's matriculated up through the process and now works in a scripted show that everyone knows is Futurama. That's just amazing, the process that he went through. And to get where he is and to be as well thought of and competent as he is in his field. He's just, it's just, to be a major film editor at age
34,
you know, on a major TV show is huge. And he's done
all the music.
Through.
I mean,
he's
we've only got 8 minutes left, so we've got to focus a little bit here. But yeah, I mean, music too, though. I remember when, well, he, when he was growing up, luckily in the school district that we have here, we had music in all the different grades, all the way from kindergarten through eighth grade, and he had a wonderful music teacher. And because of that, he started singing really early. And then because of seeing you playing guitar, at first he was learning piano, then he went, but Dad, I want to learn how to play guitar because the songs I want to learn are on guitar. So I remember he was, was he, something like 14 when he decided he wanted to learn the guitar, and he
12.
Took to it like a duck takes to water.
Yeah, he was 12. He was 10 when he first started playing keyboards. Or no, no, you're right. He was 12 when he first started playing keyboards, and then I think he was 13 or 14 when he started playing guitar.
Yeah, and then by
the time...
And then
he wrote his first song when he was 16 and recorded it when he was 17, and then wrote almost half the album of the second D2, our second album, with me. And that, you know, and then the process where I'd learned actually songwriting collaboration through my son. Because the way we would do it would be to just toss ideas back and forth. And when something stuck, we would nail it down. And it was so much fun to do that. And we did it with song after song after song after song. We had a, every month we would go to Soundtech Studios and record a new song. That was in 2017? No, it was 2007.
No, 2007. Yeah, 2007 and 8 was when
we
were doing that with Robert Berry.
With Robert. And then I did some further recording in 2008. But I mean, it was incredible to see. Every single month we would come up with a new song, and we make the initial recording on a drive we had here, take it down to Soundtech, and then finish it off, which was always an amazing process to see Robert come up with just incredibly creative ways to make the music sound so beautiful.
I was at every single one of the recording sessions, and you two were the ones that both inspired me to take singing lessons and start singing, which I was really afraid to do.
Yeah, now we sing every month.
Yeah, now we sing all the time. But I think, I don't remember if I mentioned it already, but you can still get the audios for What Do You Really Want for Your Children from Nightingale Conant as CDs or downloads. And you can also, I noticed when I was doing some research, you can hear them also on Audible, and I think you can buy downloads of them from Audible as well. But I highly recommend it that whether you're a parent or a child or somebody that wants to have children or is about to or just had some children, to listen to those because he tells such fun stories. He's the dad of 8 kids. And
he's really a hoot to listen to.
He is. He's funny. He's so funny, especially in these earlier recordings. His later ones, he was a lot more serious. But in this one especially, he tells so many funny stories and so many great reasons to do the things that he's talking about. And I highly recommend it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
wonderful
yeah.
advice. Wonderful things to concentrate on and to think about as you're going through the process.
Totally. Well, anyway, so we've got about 4 minutes left, and so what else didn't we cover that we want to cover here? Oh, you know, one of the things that Wayne Dyer always talked about was to teach other people how you want to be treated, too, and I think that's really important, too, to let people know if they're doing things that are troubling to you instead of just put up with them.
Yeah.
And if they're not willing to change, then maybe find some new friends or new people to hang out with instead of just hanging out with the same people that are like that. And
well, that's one of the things about being in a family and growing up together is that you have a chance to teach each other what you expect and what you want.
Right.
And you always react to the various family members with warmth, even though it may be something that will maybe go against the grain. But that's one of the beauties of being in a tight-knit family. And just the openness that he inspires through those tapes and through the proper parenting, that's the other thing. It's just being completely honest and open.
You know, that's such an important point. I remember hearing a speech recently a woman gave at our Toastmasters Club about how truth is so important in families and being able to feel safe in the family as well. And, you know, those things are so important. And it makes me sad that there are people that don't have that as a background. But we can all change. Luckily, we can all change. And so
yeah.
there's always hope. There's always hope. That's one of the reasons I love personal development is because it's not about being better than anyone else. It's being even better than you've been in the past at whatever it is you want to do in any way. And like you said, mistakes are part of learning. They're just, you know, once I learned that, boy, you know, that really made a huge difference for me. I wouldn't have joined Toastmasters. I wouldn't have tried singing lessons. I wouldn't have done skiing or any of the other things if I hadn't realized that mistakes are part of learning.
Yeah, fortunately, mistakes on the snow are a lot easier because falling on snow is kind of fun.
as long as it's not icy snow. All right,
right.
Well, we've got about a minute left, a little over a minute left, about a minute and a half left. So what else do you want to leave our listeners with?
Oh, it's been such a wonderful ride. It's just really been enjoyable the entire time. And I know a lot of people would say that and they would think, oh, there's times when, and well, of course there are. But for the most part, I mean, it was just, and it still is.
Yeah, still is.
A wonderful ride. And we still have an incredible friend in our son. Not just our son, but as a friend and a confidant and somebody that we can take advice from as well as give to. And,
yeah.
You know, it's that interaction that you build in parenting that I think is more important than anything else.
Well, you touched on something that I want to get across really quickly because we have very little time left, though, that is so important is to be willing to be a friend to your
right.
child or children
right.
because my mom did that, your mom did that. They were role models for us of that you don't have to choose being a parent or a friend. You can be a parent and a friend. You don't have to be one or the other. And so to be the best role model friend you can be as well as mom or dad, that's what I think is the best way to go.
Yeah, so many people will say that, you know, if you're a friend to your child, you can't discipline them, and you can't raise them properly. And I totally disagree with that. You can discipline them. You can change their minds on things if you go about it in the correct, warm manner. But it's, you know, if you don't try, then there's a lot of...
Well, if you get them to hate you, then they're not going to do it anyway. So, you know, I mean, that's why, to me, to do it in a loving way, to do it in a kind way, and we are out of time.
Yeah. Well, I love you. It's been a great ride.
Yeah, I love you too, and I love Xander, and I'm so thankful for that we decided to go on this journey of being parents and to do it together, because it's been fun the whole time and an incredible learning experience.
Yes.
Savor all the memories. Well, anyway, everyone out there, whatever music you hear calling you, figure out what your heart desires and please live your music. Bye for now, Dudley. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye, Margot.